This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Bridget.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, you were born in Manhattan, Kansas. How did you get to the other Manhattan eventually? Via Arizona?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. I lived in Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple, right? And then I was like, as soon as I graduated, I was like, I think I gotta get out of here. So I went to school at Arizona State to study opera. And I was like, I don't really want to be an opera singer, but I wanted to, like, you know, have a good instrument and do, like, the right things. And the only thing I was really doing in Arizona other than that was just, like, singing at spring training games and karaoke bars. But the karaoke was, like, what made me happiest.
Okay, I read this. You are, like, really into karaoke.
I love karaoke. And I think that, you know, a lot of people think it's sad, but I think it's really fun.
I just think that professional musicians would just look down on karaoke, like, oh, that's drunk people at a bar. You know, we have instruments.
Yeah, I'm one of those drunk people at a bar with an instrument. But I loved it. You know, you could just, like, hop on top of the bar, and I would do shots and, like, rip people's shirts off. And, like, it was really, like, the precursor to what I do now, you know, but I get paid.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, one day I was, like, something sort of just pushed me to move to New York, and then I went to be like a singer, and I didn't really know what that was going to be, and then I've just sort of stumbled into it.
Okay. She may be downplaying this. It may not just be luck. There may be some talent involved. Because, in fact, this journalist, Jose Lopez Sanchez, compared you to Freddie Mercury, Brian Ferry, David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust.
Nice.
And all with a dose of sexual liberation, female empowerment, compassion, and plenty of white wine. Which I think is a great description of you.
Yeah.
Someone else called you Bette Midler 2.0. Who are your influences?
I definitely love Bette Midler. I mean, who doesn't love her? I love Freddie Mercury. I love Barry Manilow. I just saw him in concert twice last week.
I saw that on Twitter that you were very excited about Barry Manilow.
That is my childhood right there. You know, like sitting, mom being drunk in the chair and me brushing her hair and her crying, you know, like that, and watching Dallas and Dukes of Hazzard. But I loved, and I also really love, like, Richard Pryor and John Belushi and of course, like, the greats, like, Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball. You know, I just like a lot of everything. But sort of people that are, like, a little lawless and sort of do things just a little, you know, a little before their time or outside the box. That's the kind of shit I love. Can I say shit?
You can say shit.
Okay, good.
Okay, so you've been doing this show at Joe's Pub.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's still running. But by the time this airs, it will be closing tomorrow night. It will be closing July 11th, I think, right?
Oh, well, that's Rock Bottom. That's what I do. Two shows in rep there, basically.
So tell me about Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom is, I got a grant. Like, I don't know who thought it was a good idea to give me a grant, but they did. Joe's Pub, a public theater, they're just like, they're so great there, and they've, like, just let me do whatever the fuck I want, like standing on the piano, having grandpas eat, you know, whipped cream off my vagina, things like that, you know, like, you know, it's just a great place to have a home, you know? So anyway, when I did the show, they just gave me, they're like, do you want a grant? I'm like, yeah, I'd like a grant. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I got to write a show. So I got together with Scott Whitman and Mark Shaman, and they, you know, they wrote Hairspray on Broadway and, like, did the music for Smash and all sorts of other stuff. But they started in New York, and you know, like the clubs in the 80s doing shows, like at the, was it the Limelight, you know, places like that.
Limelight.
Like I've seen videos and just like all this crazy. So they started, you know, in the clubs. So they have a real history and of just, you know, they're just crazy. And they also like really have some dirty minds, which I like, you know?
Yes, because you are dirty. Let's like make no bones about it. You're very, very, very dirty.
Definitely. I mean, when we met, when you and I met.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about when we met.
Yeah.
Because I fell in love with you. This is so way back in the day. I think it was 2005 is what I'm going to say.
It must be. I was going to think.
Okay,
yeah,
2005.
Yeah, so 10 years ago.
And I fell in love with you, of course, because you sang a song, an original song.
Yeah.
That was called Cornhole.
Camhole.
Camhole.
Yeah.
And
that's
it was about anal sex.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this person who has the most amazing voice and the most amazing stage presence? And she's like singing my tune, quite literally. And you know, I looked for that online. I was like, I've got to find Canhole. There's
got to
be some like YouTube video, some pirated something or other. Okay, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
There is one copy of it.
Is it really?
Of a live performance.
Uh-huh.
So FYI, you can barely hear the song because everyone is screaming and laughing in the audience. Like at every line, there's like laugh, 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 and then you can't really hear the song, and it's on MySpace.
Is it really? Oh, how funny. MySpace, is MySpace, that's still running?
I listened to a song on MySpace today because of you.
That's so crazy.
No, do you want to hum a few? Do you want to just sing the beginning?
Oh yeah, it's so silly. It's just like a walking bass line that's like, Mr. Digital, what'd you do? Is that your finger where I poo? Oh, that's my canhole. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's my canhole. It's just like, it was so stupid. It's like, it was so dumb. And I remember like my partner at the time was just like, this is silly. And I, but it's like, whatever party I went to, wherever I went, people would be like, canhole. And like,
say it.
In fact, like just a few months ago, I was doing a show at Joe's Pub and somebody starts, you know, they were sitting in the front row there with all their friends. So like, it's my 50th birthday. Will you please sing Canhole? And I haven't sung it in probably like 8 years. And I was like, sure. And I remembered it. I don't know how, but it was a really fun song. Anyway,
wow.
So yeah, that's about like, so that's when I met you.
Yes. And I feel like we met, I'm thinking that I saw you perform.
I think
is what
were,
I remember. I saw you perform somewhere, and then I said, "Oh my God, you have to perform at my launch party, which was for this movie, House of Ass,
with
and
Mr. Marcus, like, right?" Isn't that his name, Mr. Marcus?
Wow, you have a really good memory.
Well, I've seen his work through the years. But that was so funny. Yeah, I met you. I remember, I don't know how I remember this, but it was like Murray Hill was doing a show at Mo Pickens, and you were there with like a bunch of people.
Yes,
I think.
Okay. And I was thinking, was it through Murray Hill?
Yeah, I think so. It was like, and you were there with a group of people. But anyway, it was just, it's so funny because I remember that was like one of those nights where I was like, maybe this could work. Like, maybe, you know, because like you guys were so into it, and it was like such a fun night. And I was like, maybe I can sing like dirty songs for a living one day. And I mean, I really remember that moment. It was really,
you do?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. I love that.
Well, just, you know, because like,
I mean, you've performed so much now, so I would think like, you're like, now where did we meet? Oh yeah, right, New York City.
Yeah, but I remember certain, you know, points.
Moments.
Yeah, because it really did feel like, I loved that song so much. And like the guy I was working with at the time, I think thought it was dumb. And I was like, but maybe sometimes dumb is good. You know, dumb is cool. Or, you know, it's not even dumb. It's just like, it's a playful song about anal sex, and who doesn't like that?
Right, and dumb is not the first thing that comes to mind. The first thing that came to mind was radical. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind when I see you perform and when I saw you that night was just, wow, this woman has amazing stage presence. She has guts for days.
Oh.
But also, there's like a thoughtfulness. There's a funny, like, you're a good storyteller.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that you know, some people like to sort of cover songs and then put in dirty words. And,
yeah.
And that's cool and that's funny. But you're, like, writing original songs and singing them or performing them. And you're so out there and, like, so unapologetic.
Well, what's to apologize for if you think about it? You know, I always thought, like, you know, when I was growing up, my mom used to walk around the house like naked, and she had these like long, I call them beaver tails, these like long, low, flat titties, you know. And I was just like, and I grew up in locker rooms and stuff. I'm like, what's the big deal? It's just tits, you know? But there's at least in Manhattan, Kansas, there's a lot of shame around like your body and everything like that.
Oh, it's
that.
Not
and
just Kansas, honey.
I know, you know.
It's 2015 and there's still shame about women's bodies.
I put up a thing on Instagram. It was me and my friend Amy Schumer, just dropping a name in here. But Amy and I were, you know, drunk one night and we were having fun and we just like lay down and like put our legs in the air and took pictures of our crotches, right? And I put a picture of it on Instagram. And I just wrote, eat more pussy, right? And it wasn't, you couldn't see anything, right? But Instagram took it down. I'm like, come on, like, we're in our underwear, you know, no face, you know, just like, and just eat more pussy. Like, what's wrong with that? What, literally, what's wrong with that? And they're always taking stuff down to people's, like, nipples and whatever. And it, so I guess when I'm in a show mode, I just, like, I'm trying to encourage people to let go a little bit, you know, and just sort of, like, celebrate how ridiculous it is to, you know, the second song I do in my show is called Titties, and it's just like me motorboating people. And I don't, because I think it's just, I just feel like people are just locked up, you know.
They are locked up.
Yeah.
But I think it's also really bold. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but in 2015, it is bold for a woman to get on stage, to be unapologetic and shameless, to own her sexuality and her body. And I would think at least one or two people along the way would have said, Bridget, just so you know, you maybe want to tone that down if you want any sort of mainstream recognition.
Definitely.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
And here you are.
I mean, it feels like, yeah, like even when I, like when I was singing like Can't Hold and doing all that stuff during that time, a lot of the stuff, it was basically the same style of material. And like, it was impossible to get into like comedy festivals and do much touring because people are like, and I kept hearing like people are like, oh, we love Bridget. It just might be a little too much for, you know, but now when I go out to places, people are like so psyched to see it. And I'm like, maybe they were psyched all along and you never gave them the opportunity to experience it, you know?
Yeah.
People are sitting at home and they're, you know, they're watching porn and crazy movies. It's like, it's not something that's like, you know, foreign to people's desire, what they want to do. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but yeah, you know, and certainly like when I think about like songs about like anal sex or whatever, most people that sing them are, you know, that I've heard, like people, mostly it's like somebody playing a ukulele talking about, please don't touch my butt, you know, whereas I'm just like, you know, up there in a G string, like pound it in.
Okay. Speaking of the G string, the New York Times recently wrote something about you, which was, her curves are part of an arsenal of eye-catching props.
Oh, wow.
So let's talk about your body.
Okay.
By which I mean how you use it in your performances.
I mean, I think it's just as essential as, like, the stories and the voice. And you know, I have somebody that makes all my dresses, my friend Larry Crown from the House of Larry on, because I used to only be able to find things by the House of Darion. Do you know House of Darion? Tina Knowles, Beyonce's
yes.
mom. So then he started making me stuff. But we always, the dresses are so silly. Like the one I'm going to wear tonight. I used to wear this dress called the Coral Queef. Because like the dress looks like coral. And then like my pussy hangs out. So we call it the Coral. They're just dumb names, you know. And like we have titty tops, a pussy dress, all sorts of stuff. And tonight I'm wearing the boardroom queef case. So silly. But anyway, what was the question? The question
well,
was
how do you use your body
yeah, so
in performance?
I think that just letting it be like it's like a member of the starting lineup, you know what I mean? Like if a boob falls out, then that's good. It's like it's part of the power of owning your body and owning the moment, you know? So I for sure like get people involved, you know, I bring people up on stage. I try not to get anybody involved that like looks like they shoot me, you know.
Right, or that they don't want to touch your boobs.
That they don't want to be involved.
But I'm assuming they're volunteers to touch your boobs.
Yeah, and you also don't want somebody too eager because that, you know, I want somebody that's like, that's just on the ledge and that wants to jump. You know, that's the kind of person that I want to bring into the show. And then you just see them just like light up and it's why it never gets old to do a show because people, there's always somebody there that's just going to like come alive in the moment. And it's so exciting for me. It's like every show is like a first date. It really is. And you're just trying to get laid, you know?
Okay. Speaking of which.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a personal question.
Okay.
But I want to know, you put yourself out there in such a way and you're unabashed about it. So as you have become more well-known, as you have performed more and more to bigger audiences, have you gotten laid more?
No. The irony is not lost on me, believe me. You know, when I used to do karaoke and get up on top of bars and like do flaming sambuca shots and like, you know, rip my shirts off and other people's shirts, I would get laid like every time. You know, like there's this place on the Upper West Side called The Parlor where I had sex in every bathroom and there were four, and that's not bad, you know? Those aren't bad numbers.
Four out of four.
The more successful I become, the less I get any, you know, I don't get any action.
No, I was thinking about this morning in the shower. Uh-huh. If that doesn't sound creepy.
I love
it. Does that sound creepy? And that is, I was thinking, you think she gets just laid way more because people would be like, wow, this girl's going to be fun in bed. I can just tell. But then I thought there's the intimidation factor.
Yeah.
That you're so out there that I would see people. And I don't know who you like to sleep with, uh-huh. but guys, I would see being a little...
Mr. Marcus. Lexington Steel.
Okay, I know those guys.
Shane Diesel.
Oh my God. So funny. I can hook you up with all those guys. So I would think that guys could be intimidated.
Yeah.
You know, that they get a little spooked. Like, oh my God, yeah. I really have to bring it because she is not joking.
I mean, you know, the truth is like, I'm like a wild person on stage, but I'm also like a human being. And like, I'm not like just a total fucking maniac in the sack. I mean, I like to have fun and I'm a good sport, you know? but yeah, it's weird. I think like sometimes I'm like, is it just because it's so much and like people are overwhelmed by it, you know? Like they think I may be too much for them, but... I don't know. It's strange. You know, I haven't had sex in like a year and it was...
Bridget Everett.
I know. But you know, I also got a dog, so we spend a lot of time at home.
Right. Okay, we're going to talk about your dog. But,
You know, I watch a lot of porn and stuff and like, but yeah, it's really strange. I don't...
No, I something told me this may be too much for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They may get a little scared off.
Yeah.
And by you know, your power, quite frankly.
And honestly, like, this sounds silly, but like, I was telling somebody one time, I was like, can you imagine being the kind of, you know, for me, I sleep with guys. Can you imagine just like bringing your family to show, like, mom, dad, wait till you see my new girlfriend. And I'm up there just sitting on some guy's face. You know, like, what kind of person is it going to be that's going to, you know, be able to accept that as like their partner.
Right.
And I don't think that like it's not simple, you know?
But I think you're not that far off with sex workers and porn stars.
That's true. That's true. That's
you're
true.
Not that far off.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up, we will talk about porn stars and more sexy things with Bridget Everett. So stay with us.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I am talking today with Bridget Everett, who is an actress, a singer, a cabaret performer. And we are here backstage in the green room at Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga Springs, New York. And one of the things, I know that you have been embraced in the New York scene,
uh-huh.
And that makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed in the past year, you have been touring, mm-hmm. kind of like crazy.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering what city really gets you and what city doesn't know what to do with you.
You know, it's been almost great across the board. You know, honestly, like, I've been to Nashville a bunch of times, like maybe 3-4 times, and there's always, like, 80% of the crowd is like, yeah, y'all, this is great, you know? And there's like a few people sitting there slack-jawed, you know, that just sort of show up at a comedy club to go see comedy. But really, that actually happens almost any city I go to. Like, I was in Chicago, and, you know, metropolitan city, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm at a comedy club, and I'm doing my show, and somebody stands up after my second song, and she's like, you know what? You're fucking disgusting. And I was like, what? And then we just sort of like started to battle, you know? Like, I tried to keep it funny, but
that's
kind
of beyond heckling.
Yeah, it was like, and I was pissed, and I kept it funny and whatever, you know, I tried to keep it funny and light, but I was angry. I was like, you know, I don't show up in your office and, you know, fucking take a shit on your desk, you fucking bitch.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, I love obviously like San Francisco and Seattle and Boston and places. But there are some places that like my agent won't book me yet.
Not quite.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe Knoxville's not ready for me. I don't know. Maybe I'd be surprised, but that's not like, I'm just sort of easing into some of those places.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of my fellow friends that are comics are like, yeah, maybe don't go to Knoxville.
So Variety recently named you one of the top 10 comics to watch out for in 2015. How did, and you've been doing more and more comedy work,
yeah,
and sort of comedy music kind of hybrid.
Yeah.
How did the comedy come about? Because you began as a singer.
Yeah, I mean, I still consider myself a singer, like a cabaret singer. I used to struggle with that word because it sounds so, is archaic the right word? Like, you know, it just sounds, you know, stale in a way. But like people like Alan Cumming and Taylor Mack and Joey Arias, like people, there's so many people doing really cool, interesting things in cabaret. I'm like, you know, that's what I am. Just fucking admit it, you fucking crazy person. So yeah, and I guess along the way, I just happened to be funny, right? So, but I was always just thinking of myself as a singer. And then like I started getting invited to like some comedy festivals here and there. And even they were afraid to book me at first, you know.
Oh, but, I bet.
Like, you know, I remember when I went to, maybe in 2008, I went to this, no, 2006, I went to a comedy festival in Aspen and I sang Canhole. And like, you know, in front of like 1,000 people, and people were just like, you know, stunned in a way, you know, because it's not like somebody stand up there with a hoodie and telling jokes, you know, it's a different thing for people to get used to. So there's... It's been, you know, some like sort of like trying to like fight my way, you know, trying to figure out what it is, like what path to follow, like, you know, because it's not like there's a lot of people doing the exact same thing that I'm trying to do.
No.
So it's just, I'm just trying to figure out where to go and what to do next, you know.
But you've had some luck again,
yeah,
along the way. For example, you've performed on Amy Schumer's Comedy Central show. And
yeah,
you've opened for her live shows. What is it like to work with her?
Amy's great. And Amy's definitely been somebody that's like changed the course of my life, because I met her at a comedy festival and we were hanging out and we just hit it off. We're having so much fun. And she's like, hey, do you want to do some road dates with me? I'm like, sure. And I was like, what the fuck? I can't go in a comedy club. They're not going to understand this, you know? Because I was just choosing to think that it wouldn't work, and I was wrong. I like went out with her. She's a perfect person for me to be paired up with, because like her audiences are primed for like a woman, sex, crazy, wild,
no
holds barred, and they
edgy.
Yeah, and I think that that's what sort of blew the door open for me, at least as far as like going out on the road and stuff. And she's given me so much exposure, and people like are ready. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't know what was out there. So I just like, she brought me along, and then the audiences go crazy. I have a fucking great time. And I did get late after one of those shows.
Okay, good. I'm happy about that. And so this has led to your own special.
Yeah.
On Comedy Central.
Yeah.
It's called Gynecological Wonder.
Yeah.
It debuts July 11th,
yeah,
which, if my scheduling is right, is going to be tomorrow night. By the time this airs,
yeah,
it's going to debut on Comedy Central, but
yeah,
I'm assuming they're also going to repeat it.
Yeah, and then you can get it online.
Right, get it
and
on
all
demand,
yeah, yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
like that. Okay, so what can we expect? Is there singing in this
oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell me about this gynecological wonder.
It's like just me singing like all my dirty songs and stories and getting involved with the audience. And it's at Joe's Pub, which is like my home base. And, you know, they were really cool with me. Like, you know, I was like, there's almost nothing that they wouldn't let me do. You know, I say fuck 1,000 times. Like when they were editing it, they're like, we've never had a program with so many fucks in it before. And I was like, well, sorry.
Oops.
But yeah, it's, I think it's just, I'm really excited that it's on Comedy Central. At first, I was a little scared about that because it's, you know, I think their demographic is maybe like younger than me or something, but I'm excited to be like a part of a channel like that because it's got so much great stuff now with Inside Amy Schumer and Key and Peele and Broad City and, you know, and a lot of like women sort of driven stuff, which is exciting. So
yeah, it seems to be the channel, at least it's sort of pulling out ahead as, yeah, as a channel that's not afraid of totally other things that the other channels are.
Yeah. And everything's like, it's, they take a lot of risks and mm-hmm. they pay off. And I think that's really exciting. And, yeah. And in my special, we have a couple of weird celebrity cameos that are going to be unexpected. Yeah.
Okay. But what is better? Speaking of celebrity cameos, I heard that you had a duet with Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
What, how did that happen?
Patti LuPone is the coolest fucking person I've ever met, I think. She's awesome. She's, you know, she's so great. Anyway, she came to this show that I was doing, directed by Scott Whitman, one of the Hairspray guys and that I've been working with, and she came backstage and she's like, you have balls. I love you. And then I was like, well, hey, if you ever want to sing sometime, you know, she's like, yeah, we're doing that. And I was like, don't say it if you don't mean it. And then I just followed through and she said yes. And then we sang a duet and I'd had this, in Rock Bottom, I used like this big, massive, like Shane Diesel rubber dick. And she like picked it up in the middle and started singing into it. I mean, she's really fun. And then she asked me to sing a duet with her at Carnegie Hall. I was like, I just like, you know, we're texting and I'm like, I start crying. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, just trying to like,
super cat.
Yeah, but totally. I was like, what? I'm singing Carnegie Hall with Patti LuPone. How did this happen? But it happened because I guess you just, you know, LL Cool J says, dreams don't have deadlines. And so I listen to that shit in my head every day, you know, like
you do.
It's corny, but like, it's true, you know?
Well, I would think in New York, I mean, you know, just your story of coming from Kansas, mm-hmm. it was like, you know, it seems like a one in a million shot.
Yeah. Right?
Like you're coming to New York and you want to be a singer and it's like, yeah, you and these thousands of other
yeah.
people.
Yeah. And I was like, what am I going to do? Be in a Broadway chorus? I can't do that. I don't know how to, I can't dance. You know, that's never part of like the hash, you know, the slashes of what Bridget Everett is. Nobody's ever like, and dancer, because I'm not, you know? But like, yeah, I got to New York and I just started writing for myself because that's the only way to find an opportunity for myself, you know? And it's been paying off. Just been listening to the fucked up voices inside my head and following them.
Okay, I want to hear more about what they say. But let's take another break.
Okay, cool.
And when we come back, more with Bridget Everett.
All right.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking with, I think she once called herself an alt cabaret provocateur.
Well, somebody else called me that, but I like that.
But you picked
it
up.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Bridget Everett, who is a performer, she does cabaret, she's a singer, she's an actress. She's also a budding comedian.
Yeah.
A sort of accidental comedian.
Yeah.
And you also have a band.
Yeah.
And this band is kind of not too shabby. So let me tell everyone who this band is. The band is called The Tender Moments. Uh-huh. And there's some guy named Adam Horowitz. I don't mm-hmm. know if people have heard of him. He's from the Beastie Boys. Carmine Cavelli, Mike Jackson, and Matt Ray.
Yeah.
They're all in Rock Bottom, yes?
They're in my other show with the Tender Moments, one that's going to be on Comedy Central.
Okay, they're going to be on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And you have a new album with them.
Yeah, Pound It.
Pound It. Okay. So first, let's take a listen.
Okay, great.
You got them little nippy titties. Put them in the air. She got them tube sock titties. She put them in the air. I got these beaver tail titties. Put them in the air. Put them up. Put them up. Put them up. You got them mountain titties. Put them in the air. She got them single malt titties. Put them in the air. You got them low riding titties. Put them in the air. Put them up.
Titties is one of them.
Yeah.
But listen, why won't iTunes write out the word titties?
I don't know. Isn't that
strange?
That's just another thing I'm talking about. Like, it's just tits. What's the big deal? Why can't you write titties? People, little babies suck on titties. Like, that's the...
But it's all T, star, star, star.
Yes.
I was like, wait, is that some sort of choice? And it's probably because, like, they won't let it on iTunes otherwise.
It's crazy.
So what is it like having a band? You began as kind of a solo performer, or sometimes you had a piano or an accompanist. And a band is a different thing.
A band is awesome. It's just because I wanted to be a rock star, honestly. And this is like the best of both worlds. I can tell stories, I can sing dirty shit, and I have a rock band. So it's a real rock and roll experience. Like, that's the intention, you know?
But how did it come about?
Because Murray Hill took me to a softball game because I was depressed, you know, I was having some problems, and Murray's like, you got to come and play on my softball team, kid, you know, get some vitamin D, get some sunshine, you know, just get out of your apartment, stop drinking.
That seems very Murray Hill to me.
You know, totally. So, I go to the softball team, and it's run by, Adam Adrock from Beastie Boys, and his wife, Kathleen Hanna, was there, and she comes right up to me the first day. She's like, hi, I'm Kathleen. I'm a really big fan of yours. We're really happy you're here. And, you know, just really cool. And they're all, you know. So anyway, it's a group of like however many people, 15, 20, 30 people, fluctuates. And we just circle up and play each other. It's really fun. And Adam and I just hit it off right away. And I used to co-host a show called Our Hit Parade. And I asked him to do something with me on that. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to start a band. And he's like, well, I was like, well, what? Are you saying you want to be in my band? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm a professional musician. And I was like, okay. So Adam joined my band. And then I asked Carmine and so on. And it just sort of happened, you know, because I didn't think it could, but I just asked, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just sort of going along, and, you know, I wasn't really taking charge of what I wanted. And once I started taking charge of what I wanted in my career and in my life, I just became exponentially happier and more successful. And that band was like a real turning point.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure people listening want to know how to do that, right? Want to know how to get over the hump.
Yeah.
And take charge, and it's like full steam ahead.
Yeah.
What was the difference for you? Like, what made you finally just do it?
Murray Hill's one of my best friends. And Murray's, you know, made a life for himself, you know, made a lot of sacrifices and challenges and stuff, and you know, lives a very full, wonderful life, you know. And I just looked at the people around me that were just like individuals, you know what I mean? And like really doing what they want to do. And I was like, I go out and I do shows and people are excited and I have a great time. Like, why can't I be doing this full time? Just like, I just kept laying another brick in the road, you know, and eventually I got somewhere, if that makes any sense, you know, but I just took a chance on myself, you know, and for instance, like that song Titties that I have, like I was at softball practice with Adam and Murray and I was catching fly balls and I was like, oh, I just had this idea for a song. Is it stupid? And I start singing to Adam. He's like, you got them little nippy titties. Put them in the air. Put them up. Put them up. Put them up. I was like, is that silly? He's like, no. He's like, that sounds like a hit. Go home, write the whole thing, and let's do it. And like, so I just started to like listen to that, you know, instead of thinking Canhole was like a silly idea. I was like, you know what? Canhole's a great idea. You know, just like, because those are the things that made me laugh. So I just started to do what made me happy and made me laugh.
And how do you get inspiration for songs? Because I'm, is the songwriting process, people talk about songwriting, like this idea that something comes to you.
Yeah.
Other people say it could be like pulling teeth. What is it like for you?
For me, it's like pulling teeth. Like, I'm not prolific, you know, in that way. Like, Amy's a prolific writer. She can just sit down and like, oh, I'm going to write about this today. And I'm not that way. Like, or whatever song, like I have this song called What I Gotta Do to Get That Dick in My Mouth. You
no,
know?
It's called What Do I Gotta
what
Do?
I, yeah, What I Gotta
Which
Do.
Which I really like because it just sounds, you know, like I can just tell anyone I know, oh yeah, Bridget Everett, she has this great song, What Do I Gotta Do? What Do I Gotta Do? It could be a country song.
Yeah.
It could be a rock and roll song. Rihanna could be singing yeah. that. And I love the video where it's just, it's like you introduce it as, what do I gotta do? And so you're just playing along and then it's like, oh, the rest of that sentence is really fucking filthy. It's really filthy.
But, you know, I was like, and for example, with that song, I was at what I call my slave job or at the time, which I don't have anymore, but like, you know, my job to pay the
Your
bills.
Day job.
My
yeah.
day job, yeah. And I was in the locker room changing with one of the guys and I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm just fucking around. I was like, what I got to do to get that dick in my mouth, huh? And like, you know, totally inappropriate workplace stuff. But I was like, oh shit, I got to write that down. That could be a really good song. And I took it to Matt and the band and like, and then we just wrote it, you know? So if I say something silly, that's what this guy, Michael Patrick King taught me. He's like, you know, you just, if you ever say something funny or have a good idea, keep a book and write down those ideas. And that's the best way for me to do it. Because if I sit down at a typewriter, not a typewriter anymore, my computer, you know, things don't just come to me. But if I'm out with friends living my life, you know, the way I want to live it, and I say something stupid, I always write it down. And that's where I start from.
Mm.
And it works.
It works.
For me.
And does it help to have, like, these writing partners in your band?
Mm-hmm. Some songs will come to me as, like, a fully realized idea, and I'll be like, this is what I want to be or sound like. But because I like so many different genres of music, and I know that, you know, Adam excels at like writing a great beat and Mark and Scott excel at like a beautiful melody and like really traditional and really wonderful, like rich lyrics. I'll work with them. And Matt is like a great jazz musician. And so I have all these different people that are fun to work with and excel at things that I'm not great at. And so I'm not afraid to admit my weaknesses and be like, help me, let's try to do this together. That's also been, you know, that changed my life too.
The band.
Yeah, and just finding like different people, not being afraid to ask for help and you know, be like, oh, I think that this could be great. And then you get somebody else who's like, I think that's great too. Let's do it together, you know?
Nice.
Teamwork. It's just like sex.
Okay, let's talk about sex a mm-hmm. little bit. I have this friend, Elle Chase, and she's a fellow sex educator.
Uh-huh.
She teaches a class called Big Beautiful Sex, and she uh-huh. does a lot of stuff around body image.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking the other day about how things are like inching a little bit closer. You know, there's this swimsuit model who is like a size 22
yeah.
and she's on the internet.
Yeah.
And we've got some plus size porn stars
uh-huh.
like April Flores
uh-huh.
and Betty Black. And that's been really cool. But what is it like to be in an industry, quite frankly, that doesn't have a lot of sexy big girls in it?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's really weird because like I find that like it's like you're either like waif thin or you're like, you know, you're real big. You know what I mean? And there's like not a lot of there's not a lot of room for all the different colors of the rainbow in between. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way I can get people's attention is just by showing up and continuing to like do what I do and try to do it as the best I can. And then people and change what's normal for people to think is acceptable in entertainment industry or something, you know, like.
Yeah, but I was thinking about kind of people who've made it, and I immediately thought of Melissa McCarthy, and
yeah.
of course she's a comedian,
yeah.
and you're part comedian, but it seems to me that the fact that you're big
uh-huh.
and so sexual,
yeah,
I mean, you sort of demand to be the object
yeah.
of sexual attention, seems to me that that's risky.
Definitely is. It definitely is. And it's definitely like...
You're not just like the funny friend. You know, they can't give you a sitcom. I mean, they could give you a sitcom, but wow.
Right.
That would be on HBO.
yeah. And you know what? And I'm not giving up hope that it's going to happen at some point. But like, it's... Every meeting I've taking the rounds in the Hollywood meetings and everything. And it's like, basically they're just like, well, there's nothing like you. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy is big and she's funny, but she's not necessarily like
dirty
or driven by sex or has that kind of sexual leaning power. Or whatever,
that's what
you
I
know?
Mean. Is there,
yeah, I know.
Like, you're kind of breaking new ground.
Yeah. Like the only people that are really allowed to be like sexy are like, you know, small, I don't know, Megan Fox, some big tits or whatever, you know, like,
right.
And even that, it's not aggressive, you know, like I can't think of a lot of like aggressive, larger women, sexual and all that, but those people exist.
Of course.
You know? And like, yeah, it's definitely been a challenge for me, you know?
But do you think about that on stage? Do you think about the fact that women can actually look up to you?
You know, I didn't until people told me that they did. You know, I just was doing it because it's what felt right to me and it felt fun. You know, I remember like working with some people along the way that sort of like roll their eyes at me like, you've gone too far again, Bridget. And I'm like, no, I haven't, because it's fun. And like, I'm having a great time and so is the audience. What's the problem? You know, it's a happy accident if anybody is like, it looks up to me. And I'm really thrilled because I hear from like young girls out of college, young women coming out of college, you know, 22, 23 years old, they're like, oh my God, you know, and they're like, and they're normal, you know, slight, you know, not normal size, but they're like, you know, thin and young and they have their whole life ahead of them and stuff. And they're like, but I wish I would have seen something like that when I was younger, you know, like I saw John Belushi and Richard Pryor and like people doing crazy shit on stage.
Well, that's what
but,
struck me is when but, you started talking about the people who
yeah.
influenced you, you immediately went to these guys.
I know,
right?
I know.
And partially that's because they could do this bawdy,
agreed.
Filthy mm-hmm. humor in a way that women just couldn't. There
right.
was no space for like
right.
a Sarah Silverman,
right.
you know, 20 years ago.
But even Sarah Silverman, who I think is super funny, you know, it's like, it's very... you know, sort of cute and, you know, she's cute and says cute, you know, she delivers everything in a really cute way,
yeah.
you know?
And it's also a little bit self-effacing and she makes fun of herself.
Yeah. And mine's not really like that. Mine is like, I'm big and that's what it is. And you get up here and you fucking, I'm going to sit on your face right now. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, it's just my take on things, you know, it doesn't mean what anybody else is doing is wrong. I mean, there is somebody that like I was introduced to about like, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Millie Jackson, do you know her?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, she's fucking incredible. A black woman that, you know, maybe in the 80s was sort of her, but she has this album cover, like, you know, wherever they have those albums, like, worst album covers of all time. She's sitting on the toilet and it's called Millie Jackson Back to the Shit. And I just think, like, she's like super funny. And, you know, it's not like I'm inventing the wheel. It's just, but there aren't a lot of people that are doing the kind of thing that maybe I'm doing. So,
yeah.
But, it's like my favorite comedian, like female voices growing up were Carol Burnett, who's so fucking funny, and Lucille Ball, so funny, but there's not.
But you're
a lot,
way dirtier.
Yeah. And, you know, and I also love like Sam Kinison, you know, and he was wild, but he was like a man. And like you said, I think that there's just, for whatever reason, there's been a lot more room for men to sort of be aggressive and people are not used to it from a woman. And at least not with the sexual undertones. And that's frustrating. And I think that's why I go so apeshit on stage.
Okay, we're going to take another break, but don't go anywhere. I know you won't. Okay, we'll be back.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
with them lazy blue eyes. Was he looking back at me? I said, boy, where you going? Don't care where you've been. You wanna drink, fucking love. It's a win-win-win. I can tell by the way you walk what you gonna do to me. I can tell by the way you talk you're gonna give it to me. So please take my number, I'll tell you where I live. Gonna leave the light on. Give, give, give. What I gotta do? What I gotta do to get that dick in my mouth? What I gotta do? What I gotta do to get that dick in my mouth?
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. You just heard a clip from Bridget Everett singing What I Gotta Do from her new album, Pound It. Now back to our conversation.
I am talking, or maybe I'm just laughing. I'm laughing a lot and talking with singer, actress, comedian, cabaret performer, Bridget Everett. If you don't know who she is, you better be Googling that shit right fucking now. And there's, you know, there's kind of a way to introduce yourself to Bridget Everett, which is that July 11th on Comedy Central, her very first special. She's been in other people's work, but this is just all Bridget Everett.
That's right.
It's called Gynecological Wonder. Okay, so...
Well, that's because I have a big pussy.
Is that a song?
No.
You sort of modulated it.
No, but it's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
Okay. Big pussy. Just big pussy.
Just big pussy, right?
Well, you have pussy power.
Pussy power, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd like to write something maybe about the different sizes and shapes of pussies. Mm. You might as well, right?
Right, yeah. You've got a lot going on.
Uh-huh.
You've got Rock Bottom at Joe's Pub, uh-huh, which was extended.
Yep.
And you've got Comedy Central. You've got this new album.
Uh-huh.
What are you working on? Like, what is next for you?
I'm also going to be in Amy's movie, The Trainwreck. Like, I have a little part in that, which is coming out July 17th. It's directed by Judd Apatow. And then I'm just doing, like, some touring.
So you're going...
to support the special. And then... I have a couple other things in the works that, you know, nothing signed on the dotted line, so I don't like to say anything.
I'm super superstitious.
Yeah,
I'm completely the same way. I'm like, I'm working on some things.
Yeah, it's like until I cash a check, I'm like, it didn't happen. You know what I mean? I just filmed an episode of Girls. That was really fun.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dish.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I played an upstate hairdresser, you know, like somebody that lives upstate. And, you know, just sort of like a cool sort of bohemian, whatever. It was really fun. Like, I auditioned for a tiny little part, and I guess Lena knew who I was, and so she's like, no, I'll do this part. It was, like, much bigger and, you know, really fun. It was a whole episode, and I don't know. They're really great. It's a really fun thing to do.
Did you get to have sex? I mean,
no,
on camera?
No, but when is that job going to come?
I mean, I would just assume, because so many people have sex in that show, it just seems like,
yeah,
is that part of the contract? Like, oh, and you're going to get naked and have sex,
I wish. There's something that I was, like, auditioning for recently, and they're like, yeah, and she just, like, likes to party and has a lot of sex. I was like, well, I can do that. Like, I don't even need to audition for it. I can do that. And is the male lead going to be Shane Diesel?
Oh, you're back on Shane Diesel.
Well, he's got an impressive body of work.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually directed Shane Diesel.
Have you really? I was
going to
ask.
Yeah, and I brought you the movie with Shane Diesel in it.
Oh, no!
So I can deliver Shane Diesel literally to you, like, in 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. My friend Champagne Jerry gave me for Christmas because he does...
Champagne Jerry?
Yeah, my friend Champagne Jerry. He's a rapper, and it's me and Murray Hill and Champagne Jerry. We're, like, a little trifecta of, like, buddies. Anyway, so I told Champagne Jerry... We were talking about this. I don't mean to get off track, but, like... We were talking about porn, right? And we were just sort of like laughing about this one we had just seen. I'm like, yeah, it's like in Tampa. I'm like, yeah, Tampa, they do great work and like whatever. And I was like, yeah, this one, she's like wearing a choker and a blue dress. And like, what? And he's like, you mean Tampa Bukkake? I was like, yeah, Tampa Bukkake. So we send each other porn and stuff.
Nice.
But, he's married. It's not,
So let's talk about your taste in porn. Like, you said you watch porn, I think, within 5 minutes of the
sitting down. Yeah, well, it's you always, you bring that out of me.
But we keep returning to it.
Yeah.
So we got to return to it fully. First of all, why do you think there is still so much like hand wringing and pearl clutching about women watching porn.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Why is that still like a story on the internet?
I don't know. And like some of my good, you know, female friends are like, oh, he just wants me to, you know, I don't watch porn. He wants me to be like a porn star in bed. I was like, well, what's wrong with being like a porn star in bed? They're having a great fucking time. Yeah, you know, like, would I ever do like a gangbang? I don't know. But,
wait,
you know. But I like watching it because you asked me what I like to watch.
Oh my God. There's so many things going through my head. Okay.
But you know what happened? What happened?
Okay, you like gangbangs.
I like watching gangbangs.
You
gang
like
bangs.
Watching gangbangs.
I like.
What other kind of scenarios do you like?
You know, anything with Shane Diesel and Lexington Steele. Oh, the thing I was going to say about Lexington Steele is that, so Champagne Jerry went online and he got a, no, it's a Shane Diesel, not Lexington Steele. And it's a picture of Shane Diesel. And if Shane Diesel and I had a baby, what it would look like. And he gave it to me for Christmas and it hangs in my living room. It's just like some weird, you know, like,
right.
You know, computer
generated your faces
together. And it's so bizarre looking, but it's so, it makes me laugh all the time. You know, it could happen one day.
You know,
we don't know.
You know, I have a Lexington Steele story.
Do you really?
Lexington Steele is the reason I met Mr. Marcus.
Really?
So I met Mr. Marcus back in 2001. Uh-huh. And anyone who knows my work will see I've shot him probably a dozen times.
Yeah.
Like, Lexington Steele was one of the very first people I met in the adult industry mm-hmm. before I was doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really charming, really hot, and a newbie.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you gotta be in one of my movies. So it was the second movie I'd ever done.
Uh-huh.
I booked Lexington Steele, and he didn't show up.
No!
He flaked, which is, you know, now that I've been in the industry for 10 years, this is a very common occurrence.
Uh-huh.
And probably everyone has flaked at least once, so that uh-huh. just had to be my time.
Yeah.
And so at the last minute, I was like, well, who do you think I should call? And someone was like, call Mr. Marcus. And I remember he was at the laundromat doing laundry. And he was like, who's the female performer? And I told him, and he was like, yeah, okay, let me just like fold this laundry. I'll be right over. And that's how that's I met Mr. Marcus. It's like because of Lexington Steele.
Oh my God, that's so good.
That's really random, right?
Yeah, they all do great work.
Okay, when you said, I don't know if I'd do a gangbang, this is the first thing that came to my head is like, I didn't ask you to do a gangbang, first of all. And I didn't ask to film it. But then I was like, wait, is there an option that you'll do just like a one-on-one scene with someone? Like, you jumped right to gangbang. But I'm like, does this mean she hasn't ruled out porn?
No, it's like, go big or go home. I think like, you know, I don't know if I could ever do porn. You know, just mostly just because like the camera angles and stuff. But like.
Oh, honey. But we got people. My DP is amazing. Oh, my God.
I love that. And, you know, also like there's some.
Have you ever made homemade porn?
No, uh-uh.
No.
I'm a little nervous about stuff like that. Just like now with like, you know, anything can get.
Yeah.
If I do anything, I'm going to be in charge of it. You know, or no, I'll know exactly what's going on. Like, yeah, I think I one time like, you know, filmed my tits on the couch, but that's like, I've done much worse on stage, you know, like send something to a guy or whatever. But like, you know, the stuff I do on stage is, it's not porn, but it's, you know, it's for you know, stage work. I don't know.
It's explicit.
It's explicit, yeah.
And it's live.
And it's live.
Yeah. But no one has sex.
No one has sex. Although sometimes I'll sit on somebody's face and I can feel them like breathing it in, like really trying to take in, you know, like the kind of people.
Are
that
you wearing underwear?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, like.
Okay.
The kind
always
of,
underwear.
Always underwear. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a courtesy. I'm so fine. Like maybe we'll call it safer not sex.
Yeah.
And you can feel their nose breathing your pussy in.
Yeah. Which, you know, if I've been on stage for 90 minutes, that's, they're really getting themselves into something.
And do you ever get turned on?
You know, normally I'm just, it's always just sort of like, really? You know, I don't really get turned on by that. It's just more shocking, you know, sort of like.
But it's a pretty intimate thing to like shove someone in your panties.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't always like put my like pussy right on their mouth. But there are like some people that are really trying to get in there, like lifting their face up to it. Like, okay, girl, get yours, you know, do what you got to do. I can't be mad at them. I've, you know, put my pussy like 3 inches from their face.
Right.
If that's what they get out of it, then good.
Wow. And
hi, Mom.
I was just gonna say that you read my mind. What do your parents and your family, because you come from a really big family.
Yeah. Well, my dad is dead. I don't think he would like this at all. But we weren't like really tight or anything. But my mom, she's a music teacher, which is, you know, she always made sure that there was music in the house, and I took piano lessons, I was in choir, you know, all that stuff. And she always just told me along the way, she's like, you're special and you're going to, you know, do something. And I do something special or whatever, and just believed in me, you know, and never really took exception to the fact of like the material. She just kept encouraging me, you know, like I think some parents probably would have a hard time with it, you know. But she comes to my shows whenever, you know, I go to Kansas. She lives in Manhattan, Kansas. And
so she lives where you grew up.
So yeah, she still lives there. And when I've played Kansas City a couple times recently, and she comes, she takes the 2.5 hour drive in, it's, you know, and then she's like, I want to sit in the front row. And this last time she sat right in the front, right in the middle. And that song, What I Gotta Do to Get That Dick in My Mouth, I do a little sing-along at the end, and I'll be like, just the ladies, just the fellas. And I'm like, now just my mom. And my mom was like, what I gotta do to get that dick in my mouth. And the audience just goes apeshit. It's awesome. She has a great sense of humor. My parents are both really funny. And, you know, my mom, they're not dirty like me, but like, just my dad was like super witty and smart and sharp, and my mom is just sort of accidentally silly funny, and always, you know, she used to walk around and like, you know, stub her toe and be like, motherfucker, shit her ass her. Just like funny, like this school teacher custom like that. She's really funny.
It's kind of like a heartwarming end to our talk today.
Yeah.
Very sweet to think that your mom would sit in the front row.
It's really nice. She's 80 years old with a cane and a blowout, you know? It's pretty nice.
Well, I am not going to sit in the front row tonight unless you upgrade me. But I can't wait to see what happens. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and be on my show.
I'm excited to talk to you.
Bridget Everett is a singer, actor, and cabaret performer. Her latest show, Rock Bottom, runs at Joe's Pub in New York City. Her Comedy Central special debuts on July 11th. Her album, Pound It, is available on iTunes. Find out more at bridgeteverett.tumblr.com. Follow her on Facebook and Twitter at Bridget Everett. We'll have all that info on our Twitter feed. I want to remind everyone that Sex Out Loud is the premier sponsor of the one-day symposium Affirming Polyamorous and Non-Monogamous Relationships with Ruby B. Johnson and Sean Chrisman on July 24th in Dallas, Texas, and on the web as a live webinar. Go to polydallas2015.com. I also want to remind you that Amorous Revolt is a brand new queer camping event in Maryland, July 31st through August 2nd, designed by queer people for queer people. Go to amorousrevolt.com, use the code Tristan for $50 off your registration. And please join me at Catalyst Con West, September 10th to the 13th at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport Hotel. Go to catalystcon.com for all the information you need. Use the code Tristan for $10 off your registration. While you're there, check out the 2 pre-con workshops I'm teaching, my sex educator boot camps, level 1 and level 2. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, find me on Facebook, on Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio, and you know the drill. Talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.